About setting goals. We talked about a lot of things. We talked about not just setting goals, reviewing your business last year. What activities did you participate in? What are your proposed changes for 2011? And setting your goals, putting out an outline, SMART, drafting those SMART SMART goals. And they're not easy to do. So I'm just going to suggest, just like I said earlier, people have sent in some of their first drafts of them, and I had a lot of corrections that I gave, got a lot of feedback, because they're not as simple as you might think they are. And I've been doing this for years and years and years, so to me it's really clear what qualifies as a SMART goal, but it's not clear if you haven't been a goal setter, if you haven't been doing this and you haven't, you know, done the research and the work around it. It's not as, you know, as SMART makes sense, but then putting it down on paper is not as easy. People have a hard time. I think one of the hardest things people have is writing a goal in present tense, even though it's future, right? Because they want to use past tense. I've reached national director honor before December 1st. No. I reach, you know, it's all present. I reach national director status honor before December 1st. And again, that's critical to have the tenses right and all the things that I talked about last week in terms of how to draft goals. So make sure you get those done. I'm very committed to help support you doing that. So if you still want to send them in, even though I put a deadline of today, I'll still look at them because I really, really want all of you to have the best 2011. And it starts now. It starts right now. It doesn't start January 1st. Don't get into procrastination mode. It starts right now. How you prepare yourself for 2011 is much more important than what you do in the first month of 2011. Much more important. Because you got to lay that foundation. It's like the house. It's like building that house. You don't build it on sand. You build it on cement. You build it on a foundation. So it doesn't move and shift and change and go all over the place. And it supports you instead of allows you to sink. You want to make sure that you support yourself. And that's what's so important for us to recognize, that goal setting is exactly that. It's the support system. It's like you guys trying to do those, you know, flying through the trees, you know, and all the stuff that we, you know, that's out and without any braces to the ground. You're going to fall. And that's what we do. We just see to the pants. Okay, all right, I'm just going to see what happens. We'll see what Manatech does for me in 2011. Well, good grief, Charlie Brown. Just go back to JFK's famous statement. Don't ask what the country can do for me. Ask what I can do for the country. Same thing. Don't ask what Manatech can do for me. Ask what can I do for Manatech. Understanding the social consciousness of this company trying to stomp out global malnutrition. What is it that I can do to help support this company accomplish this incredible goal, which I feel so passionate about? Because there's, you know, I can get into this again, but the whole concept here around global malnutrition is those are the most vulnerable human beings on the face of this earth, our children. And we're watching 5 million die every year. So what can we do differently to stop that from happening? And that's the incredible, wonderful nature of being a part of Manatech and being able to be in a position to support Manatech and be the best we can be. So, anyway, so we today's the day. Now's the time. Hang on, let me 1 second. So now's the time, and for us to start putting that cement down. Start laying the cement, and in order to lay the cement and pour it in, you've got to what? You got to kind of decide what it's going to look like first, right? I mean, how do I pour cement into a foundation if I don't have it? You know, the ropes and the wood barriers. And did you ever watch a house being poured, a foundation, a slab? You know, they put wood and they have bars and rebar and all sorts of things. Well, that's what this is about. That's what this whole exercise is that I'm trying to get all of you to grab onto. It's about where are you going to put the rebar, where are you going to put the stake in the ground, where are you going to put the wood barriers, because as you pour that cement, it's going to fill in whatever you're choosing. So you've got to make choices about life, about what your life's going to look like. So setting the goals was our exercise, and hopefully you guys got a good step in that direction. Putting down your activity review from last year versus this year, what are you going to do differently? Why do you want to reach your goals so you know why you're going to reach your goals and the consequences of not reaching the goals? And then doing that exercise that came out of Life is Art, which kind of gets you a real experience around structural tension. the idea of that the difference between your reality today, where am I today, the reality. And I love to look at that because no matter how much pain it brings me, it brings me a reality check. I need to know where exactly I am today to know that where do I want to be 12 months from now? What does it look like differently? And then what are the action steps to get there? Okay, so that was our exercises that we had last week. This week we're going to talk about strategies to make your goals work. You know, what action are you going to take to make them work? Because you have to develop strategies internally. It's not just about setting goals and putting them out there and just, you know, every day waking up and saying, okay, Lord, please let my goals become true. You know, that's not what life's about. It's like faith without action is dead, right? It's the same with what you're doing in your Manatech business. Having a belief that your Manatech business will grow without taking action, it means your belief is dead. It's absolutely dead. So you have to take action to make things happen. Action is what creates results. And so activities are very, very crucial to this process. So what kind of basic actions do you need to take? So what our outline is today is about 10 steps to make your 2011 goals work. Hopefully the typos I see in my draft aren't on yours, but if they are, we'll get Lydia to correct them. I still got the wrong dates on some of these. Okay, so 10 steps to make your 2011 goals work. So it's design your year with the end in mind. Focus on specifics. So what is that all about? Oh, I know what happened. I'm going to apologize to you guys. I think Lydia took a wrong draft of our outline today because I see another date that's wrong as well. So there are a couple dates that are incorrect on here. Just pay attention. Make sure we know we're talking about 2011 goals. We'll correct it on Manatrain. 10 steps to make your 2011 goals work. Number one, design your year with the end in mind. Focus on specifics. So you've got to look at what are my goals I'm setting. So that this is a strategy that only exists if you've already set your goals. So goals are the underlying important criteria. Then you've got to focus on your goals. But the important thing is that when I told you to do 6 or 7 areas, categories of goals, and I said do at least 3 in each one, that gives you 18, 20, over 20 goals. So the idea in this realm is that you want to focus and you want to get real distinct. You want to limit to 10 at most, your 10 most important goals to you. And some people might even choose just 5. But you start with really writing these, getting the goals that are most important to you for 2011, and then rewrite them in very, very specific terms. So some of you might be saying, by the end of the year, I wanted to be a national director. So I am national director in Manatech by December 2011. Great. Is that a goal? Yes. Is it timely? Yes. Is it specific? Yes. What I'm asking you to do here is a further design job on that goal. In other words, what does that distinctively look like for you? So if you're going to be a national director by the end of the year, how many regionals are you going to have in each of your legs? How many legs are you going to have? Because this leg strategy is really important. I'm looking at it more and more. You know, I ran my business because I just worked so hard at it. I was like a really work bunny. You know, I'd just go out there and try to sign up as many people as I could and try to help support them. But I didn't really ever strategize. I just kind of started putting them in legs. And, of course, for Mary Jo, that means I now have 17 legs going. Some of them no longer going, but there's plenty of them still active. But, you know, I didn't have a strategy around what my each leg would look like. I just wanted everybody to get going, and I wanted everybody to be active. So I kind of ran off with it that way. I think it's critical that you have a strategy, that you sit down and you say, okay, what do I want my leg to look like? Who's going to be in this leg? Who's going to be in this leg? Who's going to be here? And how am I going to best support them? If I open this new city, where do I want to put that? Under which leg do I want that one to be open? Who am I going to support with that new growth? You know, if I'm going to do a city in Mexico, where am I going to put that in my downline? Because I want to make sure that I balance my legs. You know, all those things should be taken into account. So you might have, you know, for some of you, there's so many marketing ideas out there. In fact, I'm putting together a marketing mania program right now for 2011. Because I think what happens is that a lot of us fail to know where we're going to find our next prospects. So I want to really do a blitz program around marketing. It's called Marketing Mania 2011, and it's taking 10 distinct marketing ideas and running with them. And that means we're going to be prospecting like the Dickens in 10 different ways. Now, you don't have to choose all 10, but it just gives you an idea. But that's the kind of thing. If you're going to do ISCA, or you're going to do Give for Real, or you're going to do Osteen Challenge, Weight Loss Challenge, you're going to do blogging, you're going to do social media, what are your choices? And then implementing a system to make sure that you're getting at least 5 to 10 leads on a weekly basis in each category, each of the marketing ideas that you select, so that you are generating leads every single week. So there's no end, it's endless leads. In other words, we're going to constantly be generating leads. So what are we going to do with them? So we work them. So that's the idea. And so what I'm suggesting here, when you're building your legs and you start looking at how I'm going to get to national director, what marketing ideas might I be using for each of those legs? In other words, if I'm going to have an ISCA leg, what leg is that going to be, 1, 2, or 3? So you start making plans on what they look like. Because the more you, the idea here is the more you stoke your desire, the more you put into it, the more energy you put behind it, the more you visualize it, the more it becomes a burning, you know, obsession, a passion, a direction for you, and you really start grabbing onto that vision. The word national director doesn't have a lot going for it all by itself. But the word national director with 3 legs, each of which has 2, you know, regional directors in it, and this is my regional director leg that's all ISCA related, and this is my leg that's all weight loss related, and this, you know, or whatever. You might just, you know, start putting that together into a developing a program that really makes sense. Not that each leg has to be a different marketing idea, but for you it could be. Because everybody you get involved might take a different direction, but for you it could be, you know what, when I go after Mexico, this is where I'm putting everybody in Mexico. When I go after ISCA, this is where I want my ISCA people to go. You can decide. Or you can decide I'm isolating only on ISCA and I'm going to have 3 ISCA legs. Decision. But that's the kind of specificity I want you to start working with as you lay your foundation before we kick off 2011. And it doesn't mean it's in concrete. You know, it could shift a little bit because as you get entrenched in different marketing mania ideas, you might decide to shift. But right now, make a picture. Draw a picture. And if you look at your goal, okay, this is important for you to know, that if you have a problem focusing on this, because some of you might say, well, Mary Jo, I drafted my goals, but it's hard to focus on. And I go, if you have a problem focusing on any given goal in terms of what it's going to look like or getting more specific about it, I think the problem then starts with the goal. So I want you to really, that's why this exercise is so important, because you want to make sure that your goals are very, very clear and are very, very real to you, not to somebody else, but to you. And they have to be big enough, and they have to serve your why. Because if those things aren't met, then the goal really doesn't carry a lot of meaning for you. So designing your year with the end in mind is critical. Getting more specific with your top goals is critical. And then making sure that there's clarity with a goal, and that the clarity is that it truly is your goal and it truly is a meaningful goal for you. Because if it's not meaningful for you, it's not going to work for you. And too many of us have gone through exercises of putting goals on paperwork that never were meaningful to us. So is everybody clear on that? And notice I put Robert Schuller's quote, goals are not absolutely necessary to motivate us. They are essential to really keep us alive. And so, you know, this whole exercise I did last week when I gave you all the assignments, I went through those. And Lydia and I are still working through them, but we're conquering every one of those exercises we're going to have complete, as well as doing these. What's good for you, you know, I don't teach you things that I don't do myself, because then I think I'm a fraud. So if I think it's that important for me to do it every year, I really believe it's that important for you to do it as well. Number 2, dream. Set aside 30 minutes each day to dream. And build a dream board. I want you all to have a dream board. I think dream boards are awesome. I still have mine up in the office, and you know, it's huge. It's important to see what does my life look like 2 years from now, 5 years from now. What are my dreams? Visualization is absolutely gigantic. So you take your 10 top, you know, goals that you set and go out and find pictures that reflect those 10 top goals. And that's what goes on your dream board. And you can even build a dream board. My dream board goes out 5 years. You can build a dream board just for 2011. I think that's a very good idea, especially for some of you who have problems with long-term goal setting. pick just 2011. Take 12 months under your belt. No one should have problems with 12 months. It's very definable. It's very doable. It's very conquerable. It's a very short-term period of time. Tackle 12 months and make a dream board about 12 months. But I'm going to suggest to you that you might want to throw something on that dream board that says, and then in 3 years, you put a big, huge picture. Because you're going to then aggregate all your pictures of what happened in 2011, and then in the corner you might have, or at the top right corner, you might put a picture of, and this is what it's going to create for me. If I accomplish this, my next step is this. Get it? So you have the big dream there. All right, number three, read 20 pages of a good book every day. If you look at, your top 10 goals that you set, choose the ones that are most important to you, and then you want to find a book that would help you realize that goal. In other words, you want to build your reading behavior, your growth, your educational process in a way to support you meeting your goals. A lot of you read a lot of books, but they don't really support you in moving ahead in your life. I would ask you the question, look back at the last 6 months of your life. How many books did or didn't you read? Okay, first of all, maybe some of you aren't reading any books, and that's a question mark for you. Why not? Okay, number two, if you are reading books, what kind of books are you reading? Are they supporting you to get to the next level? And that's the idea. You want to always be feeding your brain, feeding your heart, things that are going to get you to the next level. How is it moving you forward? How are you growing? How are you learning? What's creating newness and greatness and growth in your life? So that's what you want to do, is make sure that you're tackling books that really work for you. I attached a reader's form, I believe Lydia put it on there, that I use with people in reading books. Oh, looks like it didn't get on my outline. Hopefully it got on yours. If not, we'll send it out again. The reader's form, that basically is what I suggest people use when they read books, because so many people read books and don't get anything out of them. And as you know, I think that books are for one purpose, and mostly, and that is change your life. A book is to change your life. A book gives you insight into somebody else's approach and gives you new insights for your life. And it doesn't mean you change your life to live it like the person who wrote the book, but it means that you take the insights as feedback to you. And now you say, how does this change my life? Or what am I going to do differently to accomplish this? Right? And there's a lot of great books out there. You guys all have a book list. Mary Jo puts one out that, you know, are some of my favorites for networking and for just life, right? Because most of mine are really networking. The reason I love it so much is that it's so much tied to self-development. How are we growing ourselves? How are we becoming better people in the process, but they're just great books out there that can really, really help you. And some of you read some of these books, and I'm going to suggest to you, maybe you didn't get enough out of them, go back and read them again. I have people that get on these calls that tell me and send me emails about a book. They say, you know, Mary Jo, I read that 3 years ago, and I just picked it up the other day, and I went crazy on the first chapter. It just hit me like never before. Well, what's very true about book reading is that when the person is ready to learn, then the teacher appears, and what happens to us is that sometimes we're not as open as other times. We're not ready to hear, or we're not ready to see the beauty of what's being told to us in these books, because there are gems in every word, in every paragraph, in every page of a book, and sometimes we are just not seeing them because we have too much stuff that's blocking our brains. So it could even be a book that you've read in the past, one that you really have enjoyed in the past. So make sure you're doing it. Make sure you're tying it to areas of your life that are important for you to grow in. And that means the to-be list. I don't know how many of you did that exercise. I gave you that list of being words that really represent characteristics of a good leader in our last class. And I went through it. I remember the year before, I think I circled three. And this year, I was pretty crazy. I mean, I have six different words that I circled for myself to really work on. And it's kind of fun because when I look back to see the three that I circled last year, only one of them is the same. So every year I'm looking at myself differently and saying, well, how can I be better and what do I need to improve on? And it's great because some of the things I've improved on that I committed myself to, but you know what? Some other things aren't working as well as they should for me. So I need to work on those as well. So I plan on really working through those characteristics and reading books that support me in the characteristics that I've chosen for this year. And then finally, you know, every month that I've been doing this, and I need feedback from you guys. In fact, why don't you, if people want to get off the mute right now, just give me some feedback. Are these weekly, you know, every month I choose a book, and I've been doing book reviews for you guys. And I don't, is this effective for you? Are you guys enjoying this, or is it something that's not really serving you in terms of Monday calls? So the book reviews do some.
I think they're great. Mary Jo, I have a suggestion.
Uh-huh.
What about a really good article or two?
Oh, you mean pick on articles as well instead of just books? Yeah, I have no problem with that. That's great because there are tons of those, and I subscribe. I mean, I'm telling you, as soon as this social entrepreneurship came up in the Harvard Business Journal, I now subscribe to that every month, and that's like invaluable. My brain goes crazy when I read that thing. It's a little heavy probably, but I love what's the content of Harvard Business Journal. It's great. So absolutely, I can pick articles as well. So you mean do that in addition to not just books but articles as well?
Yeah, because books can be outdated, actually. Not all of them, you know what I'm saying. But articles can be like some of the latest stuff. And I don't know, it can be very succinct. They have to be very succinct.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Rather than a book can be pretty long.
Suggestion, great.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Ann. Anyone else have any suggestions out there? Are you enjoying the book reports?
I do.
I get a quiet group.
Mary Jo?
Yeah.
I really enjoy the books. I'm a slow reader, and sometimes I don't comprehend everything, and so it's always nice to have someone to, get their view of it that maybe something that I didn't.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Yeah, I just love the books that you do every month. So that's just
great.
My opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I totally agree with you. I think that, two people can read the same book and come out with two very different outlooks on it, right? I mean,
right, absolutely.
Because what's so neat about that is that it gives us a reality check about how all of our, it really shows you how all of the things that have happened to you in life and all your belief systems impact how you perceive things, right? I mean, that's really what the world's about. That's why, one of my favorite exercises in law school was in civil procedure class. They staged an accident on the stage this is my first semester of law school. They had this group of people, and they had this big accident that occurred on stage, and people are going different directions, and then they closed the curtain. And then the professor came out, and he said, okay, now what did you see? And people around the class would say, it was hilarious. I mean, it was hilarious. It was a great exercise for trial lawyers because you really got the idea that everybody comes from a different perspective when they perceive things. And so one person saw this, another person, I mean, no two people saw exactly the same thing that happened on stage. Because we all tend to pinpoint things that are most important to us or things that are based on past experiences, what impacts us the most, either emotionally or color-wise or relational. You know, like somebody focused on in the car accident, somebody focused on the woman almost exclusively. Another person ignored totally the woman's presence on the stage. And you could see that whatever happened in their lives in the past, whether some sex discrimination or something went on or mother-son relationship or mother-daughter relationship, something happened in their life that caused them to have this kind of perception based on their story. So it's cool. But the same thing, like I said, same thing happens with books as well. So great. Okay, so we'll continue doing the book reviews, but we'll also throw in from time to time, as Anne stated, some good articles that are relevant to what's going on in our lives, especially around Manatech as well. Good, good. I'm glad you're enjoying it. That's great. Thanks for the feedback. And any more feedback, send us emails. We always are open to hear feedback. We want to be here for you guys, and that's what we're about. All right, number four. Plan your work and work your plan. You know that, and those who know me know one of my favorite sayings is plan is planning to fail. And I really, really believe that. In fact, Lydia and I have taken new steps on new ideas and new concepts for what 2011 is going to look like for us because we've fallen from time to time in failure to plan trap. And when is the most typical time failure to plan happens to us? It happens to us when we get B-U-S-Y. Okay. Busy. We get busy. And you know what? Everybody's busy. We're all busy. We all have many things that are floating around us in our lives. This weekend was chaos busy. But you know what the issue is? We can all stop and breathe the roses. And we can all stop and draft a plan. And we can all stop. I mean, I looked at Lydia, you know, we planned the whole weekend in terms of presents and food and everything. Okay, so all that was on. And, you know, after Saturday, on Sunday, I finally got to my Christmas cards, by the way. It wasn't that fun. And Sunday I got down and I said, okay, let's plan next Saturday. So we have now drafted food plans for Wednesday when my first relatives arrive. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Okay, so now I can get that. But if I don't plan, the chaos would exist. So the plan is in place. Now, I guess what happens to my brain? I can lift off my brain anything to do with food for the whole time that people are here because it's all planned. And that doesn't mean I don't have flexibility to do something different, but you know what? It's all outlined, so I don't ever have to worry about what are we having for dinner, what are we having for lunch, what are we having for breakfast, none of that has to exist. So it's really, planning is so critical for us. And the same thing, I just brought up the exercise around Christmas time for me and my current experience. But the same thing happens whether it's my trips to Mexico, whether it's what I'm going to do in Manitech next year, whether it's what's going to happen in the first month, what am I doing with ISCA. All of it all focuses around one thing. I need to plan. If I plan it, it works wonderfully. If I don't fail to plan, I leave myself out in the snow. I mean, it's not going to happen. It's just going to happen by chance. And remember the whole thing I love is live your life by what? Choice and commitment, not by chance and circumstance. That's huge. And planning is critical. So the most important thing is have a written plan. So strategic planning is crucial. And we're going to talk some more about this in January as well because I want all of you to have a strategic plan for your Manitech business. But you want to incorporate in your strategic plan, working the daily dozen, what are you doing for accountability, and making sure that you're doing the core four, contact, invite, present, follow up, and close, you know, that circle. Really critical for your business. And focus on accomplishment, too. Focus on results that you want to create. And that's really what goals are, is the results that you're going to create. So you don't get caught in the grist mill in 2011 that's just keeping busy. Because that's just an excuse about keeping busy is an excuse not to be effective. Keeping busy is an excuse not to be effective. Isn't that intriguing? Mm-hmm. And we think keeping busy is what makes the world go round. I spent too many years caught in that, you know, what we call it, the hamster wheel, not happening. You want to keep busy, but you want to be doing in your busyness and your activity level, you want to have it structured and creating results. That's what you want to goal. Each night, ask what's most important things to accomplish tomorrow. Of course, we always start with our to-be list, and for me, that's really critical. I have 6 new things on my to-be list that I need to work on. So I start with my to-be list and then choose into those things. Because if you draw the triangle, I don't know how many of you have gone through this experience, but right now if you draw a triangle on your sheet of paper right in front of you, draw a triangle, and in the bottom left corner put the word be, on the top tip of the triangle put do, and at the bottom right-hand corner, put have. So it goes be, do, have. If you start in the left-hand corner of the triangle, the base, it's be, an arrow goes up to do, an arrow down to have, and an arrow over back to be. And this is what we call be, do, have. And many of you have had this exercise before, but we'll go through it one more time. Many of us believe that it starts with do, that as long as we do, the arrow goes down to have, that means we'll have. And then we can create who we are. You telling me? Do, have, be. That's how you run your life. Now, the problem with the do, have, be people is that they do, and, you know, busyness sometimes produces results, right? Because you're just so active that some results will be created. But the problem with it is that these are the people that become millionaires and go bankrupt. Millionaires, bankrupt, millionaires, because they're so into the do, have cycle. The reality of life is that we need to start with be. The lower left-hand corner. Start with B. That's where you start. You work on you. Who am I? What are my characteristics? What am I growing in myself? What's most important for me to achieve this year in my self-growth? And then from that growth, I will take specific actions that create great results. And then I can sustain. Then it becomes sustainable because I've started with the base of the triangle, not the tip of the triangle. Got it? All right, and then I put a little quote after here, Albert Hubbard. Many people fail in life not for lack of ability or even courage, but simply because they have never organized their energies around a goal. And that's really what we fail to do. And a lot of times we can look back and say, well, why did I not energize, put energy behind this goal? A lot of times it's because it wasn't your goal. Remember I told you when you have problems focusing or really planning around a goal, maybe you need to go re-examine the goal. Because if it's not right for you and you can't build passion around it, then I'm going to suggest, then go after something different. That's not your goal. All right, number five, spend less than you earn and invest the difference. This is just about financial astuteness. It's just crucial in life that we learn how to do this. Our country has been so negligent in this for so many years, it's hard to even teach it to people because we spend 120. That's what we've been doing in this country. We're spending 120% of our take-home pay. We go more and more in debt every single year. Well, that's over, hopefully for everybody. But again, we are known to, you know, recreate our own cycle, so will it happen again? Probably. But it's a great lesson to teach people that it's 80-10-10 rule. The 80-10-10 rule is 80% you live off of, 10% you tuck away that you never touch, and 10% you give away as a tithe, right? So you always have this 10% that you're tucking away, never to be used. You tithe 10%, and you can spend off of 80 of it. So it's just it's about really controlling your expenditures, living within your means, making sure the gold multiplies for you, and you ensure future income streams. And that's one big thing because that's really what Manatech is for many of you. For a lot of you, Manatech isn't your mainstay income. But it is a residual income stream that you really were hoping or planning on having for retirement, whether it was $500 a month or $1,000 a month, whatever it was going to be a great supplement to Social Security or whatever other source of income retirement funds you might have. Or some of you are planning on Manatech being your full-time income. Whatever it is to you, make it that. But you got to start with a plan around what you're doing with your finances so that you're not digging yourself in a deeper hole. So this world isn't about how much you earn, but how much you keep. Because we've even seen, you know, even with the hardships that Manatech went through with the Texas AG and some of the things, some of the big wig people that were making lots of money, they had to sell their houses, sell their car. I mean, they really, and they went, a couple of them went into bankruptcy. It was ridiculous. It was incredible. And I was sitting back thinking to myself, like, my goodness gracious, what happened to people is that they got all this extra money and all of a sudden they started needing two and three homes and extra cars and trips and all. I mean, it was extravaganza. That's called irresponsible behavior. So you want to make sure that not just learn how to earn it, but how to keep it. Number six, manage your time, your drive time. That just means as you're driving your car, you know, how much time do you waste driving your car? How many of you turn on stuff on your radio? My radio never goes on in my car. I never listen to the radio. And the main reason I don't listen to the radio is there's nothing any good on the radio. So I always want to bring either tapes along or my iPod or whatever so I can feed my brain what it needs to be fed. Because, you know, junk in, junk out. So you want to make sure you're feeding your brain. In fact, I think I told you a number of times that when I drive with my husband, he loves that radio talk, sports radio talk. Oh, I've never heard so much garbage in my life. Those guys don't even know what they're talking about. It's so, I mean, I'm not kidding. My husband goes, honey, don't get frustrated. They're just trying to think of things to say. And I said, well, then don't play it. Don't let it feed my brain. If you want to trash your brain, that's up to you. But I don't want to trash my brain. My brain is important to me. I don't want to put garbage in it. It's kind of like what I view as a temple again. I don't want to put McDonald's in my body, and I'm not going to put radio talk show in my brain because I don't want garbage in. So you want to protect your brain, protect your thoughts, and so don't feed it. Don't think that things around you don't influence you. Number seven, take action. Always move towards your goal. It's harder to get into action than it is to stay in action. Understand that. Once you build momentum, it's really easy to ride the momentum, but you got to take action to build the momentum. So you got to get started. And that's what 2011 is going to be for a lot of us. It's going to be marketing mania. It's going to be let's get out there and step up and play a new role. Let's target. Let's go after real people, real things, real ideas, and real strategies to make a difference in our marketing efforts. So it's really, it's part of just getting out there and doing. And so every decision you make this year, ask the question, will what I'm considering drive me closer to my goals or push me further away? It's just like everything, just like what I just told you about a car. As simple as listening to a car. I don't want to do that because it's not driving me closer to my goals. So be very conscious about everything that's happening around you and take productive action, not unproductive action. Number 8 is believe in your future. Power of belief is critical. We all know that, The Magic of Believing, Claude Bristol. It's a great book. If you haven't read that one, read it. If you've read it, read it again. Just believe that there is genuine creative magic in believing. The magic will be there. Be for belief will supply the power which will enable you to succeed in everything you undertake. Back your belief with a resolute will, and you will be unconquerable. That's powerful. Some of you just need to take that quote out of the outline today and plaster it up on your you know, computer screen, or put it on the wall next to you, blow it up into like 10-inch letters, and just make sure that you see it every day. So critical for us. And set aside quiet time to work on your limiting beliefs, whatever those are. If some of you have been through Clemmer Personal Mastery, so you really understand this. Other of you just haven't been there yet, but you need to take it upon yourself to do that. I mean, we all live with beliefs. We all have sunglasses on about stuff that happened to us in our life. We don't even know we have them on. Why? Because it happened when we were 2 and 3 and 4 years old. We just defined it as who we were. Today, it's we look in a mirror, and that's who we define as who we are today. But it's not. It's who you're choosing to be. Don't let other people choose for you. You choose for yourself. So work on those limiting beliefs that you have. And I love Eleanor Roosevelt. The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. Very true. Number 9, persist. It's endurance. Run the race. You're on the call today. You're in Manatech. You've been through some tough times. You guys have persisted. I just honor every one of you on the call today. Persistence is huge. Grasp the concept of sheer persistence. To maintain momentum, you must persist. You have to develop mental toughness to get through these things. You can't let other people or other things or other entities or other activities or other events rob you of your what? Commitment. Because that's really what persistence is. It's about, are you committed or not? And if you're committed to Manatech, then you're committed to stomping out global malnutrition. You're committed to this vehicle. You have a gigantic future ahead of you. It's just about persisting through the thick and the thin and the big and the bad and the things didn't happen the way you wanted to. Next, learn from the mistakes and move forward. That's the definition of life. Learn through the mistakes, move forward. Learn and grow. Green and growing, or ripe and rotting. And finally, number 10, build a support team and accountability team. Really crucial for all of you to do that. Find people around you that can be, it could be one person, it could be two people, it could be a team of people. Everybody needs accountability. So find those people and make sure you have mentors and give feedback. Remember what feedback is? Somebody else's opinion about what's transpired. It's not truth, it's feedback. But feedback is invaluable. So go out and get as much feedback as you can, then you can weed through it and decide what you pick up on and what you don't. It's amazing what we learn about ourselves through feedback. So build a team of accountability partners. And then my last notes on the page, on the outline, are just you're not done with 2010 yet. So let's spend the next couple weeks getting rid of some of our zeros with a year-end letter. Renew your commitment to be proactive about your health. That's a great time of year to do a year-end letter that states like that. How about a Christmas letter? I will send you out my Christmas letter today, so you'll get it. And it basically highlights what's going on. I use a Christmas letter every single year to my people in my downline because sometimes it helps tweak people and reactivate them. Thank your leaders appropriately. So if you have a 2011 calendar, you might want to send that out, some kind of gift to your leaders. And then finally, never, and I mean never, stop prospecting. Again, build yourself a hopper getting ready for the 2011 incentive. And we know now that we're already achieving points for the 2011 incentive by signing people up today. Osalene is crucial this time of year, so you could all look at doing an Osalene blitz. You could kick that off, and that could be your first week. Now, you don't have to look at it being a month-long experience. It could be maybe first 2 weeks of the year you do an Osalene blitz. Who jumps on, who doesn't. Boom. Then you move into another blitz. But you got to pick your vehicles of how you're going to approach your business in 2011. And that's what you want to do. keep your prospecting going every day. You guys have Christmas parties, you have Christmas events, you have lots of people. I have meetings today. I'm doing three-way calls today. My life doesn't stop just because Christmas is upon us. In fact, there tends to be more people I get to know this time of year because of all the events. So take advantage of those opportunities and keep growing that prospecting list. Okay, people, that's it. That's all I got for today. Those 10 strategies help you. They won't help you unless you adopt them. So understand the choice is yours. Pick up on these strategies. Adopt the ones that work for you. I would suggest all of them, but work on the ones you can and make sure you incorporate them in your life because that's what's going to help those goals that you've set. And if you haven't done that yet, make sure you get that done before January 1. Lay the foundation, put the cement in, put the bricks up, and we'll build an incredible mansion in 2011. Okay, everybody, any last-minute questions, issues, anything anyone wants to share? This is your last chance for 2010.
Yeah, Mary Jo?
Yes, Fred.
What's the name of that book also? I think it's called The Magic of Thinking Big or something like that.
Magic of Thinking Big. Yeah, I know. I think I know which one you're talking about, but I don't remember the name.
Or maybe it's just called Thinking Big.
Called Thinking Big. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's called Thinking Big. There's not a magic word in it, but it's Thinking Big. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And do you know who the author is by chance?
I don't, but I can get that for you. Take me to. I'll send it out. Why don't I send it out with the Christmas letter? Okay.
Yeah, that's good because I think it's a good book.
How about if I send out my? You guys have my book list, don't you? I could send out my revised book list. You want to get a copy of that as well?
Yeah, do that. That'll probably be on there, won't it?
Yep, right. Copy of book list. You bet.
Okay.
I'll send that out as well.
Right.
Mary Jo?
Yep.
Are you still giving feedback on our goals if we send them to you? Because I sent mine earlier this morning.
Did you go? You did it last minute. Made a commitment in a call today that as long as I get them by the end of before January 1, I will review any goals I get in before January 1.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And I'll try to get them out back to you as like a quick turnaround, 1 to 2 day turnaround time, depending on what. If you send them to me on Christmas Day, you may not get a 24-hour turnaround. But other than that, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
No, it's a joy, really, people. I want to trust me. It's a joy for me to be able to be a part of your lives and help you with that goal setting. Because you know, I don't want you to look at it as a scary thing. I want you to look at it as a pleasant experience. You know, have fun with it.
Hey, Mary Jo.
Yep.
It's Paula Underwood.
Hey, Paula. How are you?
Doing great.
Doing great. I just was going to give the author of that book. It is The Magic of Thinking Big, and it's David Schwartz.
David Schwartz. Okay, it is magic. I didn't think the word magic was. The Magic of Thinking Big, David Schwartz. Thank you, Paula. We love you, dear.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, people, I love you a lot. Let's get goal setting. Let's also work with your downline. I mean, if they're not on the calls with us, make sure that they get this information, and you can have them send theirs in as well. I'll be more than if you want to get some feedback. And know that, you know, a lot of you aren't in my organization, but I'm not preempting your upline. You always can work with your upline and your leaders above you, but I'm just more than willing to be a part of your life as well because I'm totally committed to growing this Manatech business, and it doesn't have to be about Mary Jo. It's about you guys doing what you need to do to make you the best you can be. So, okay, everybody, Merry Christmas to all of you. Have a tremendous Christmas. Have a tremendous new year, and I will talk to all of you on or before January 3rd. How's that? Okay? All right, everybody.
Thank you.
Lay those bricks and get that foundation. We got to get ready for 2011 because it's going to be dynamite. Okay.
Mary Jo.
Yep.
Merry Christmas and God's best blessings on your life and your family. You're an inspiration to the many of us who are homebound and still have a passion for Manatech.
Yep, I do, and I have a passion for you as well. So thank you, and Merry Christmas to all your families as well, all your loved ones, all your families, and God bless all those less fortunate than we are because, people, there are a lot of them out there, and we just have to keep our focus on those. Okay, love you, everybody.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.